Hey, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, and glad you tuned in today. Let's throw our Bibles over to Mark chapter 11. Now, reading scripture from the Word of God for the purpose to build up our spirit man on God's Word, renew our mind to God's Word, and feed our faith on God's Word. Remember, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, here in Mark chapter 11, this is where Jesus spoke to the fig tree and cursed and withered away. And the Bible said in verse 21, "And Peter called him, remember, and said, Master, behold, the fig tree thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, have faith in God." And then Jesus went on to say here in verse 23 and 24, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever saying this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive you of aught against any, that your Father shall forgive your trespasses. But if you're not forgiven, then your Father shall forgive your trespasses." Now we want, as believers, we want to use Mark 11, 23, and 24 and get them to produce and work for us. One way we can release our authority that God gave us in Jesus' name is speak to problems. Mountains are problems. And you read in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, beginning in verse 35 through 41, and it calmed down. Jesus spoke to demons and devils, and you know, he cast them out with his word. The Bible said in Matthew 8:16. And then Jesus gave us his name. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father," in verse 12. Well, we the church were to do his works in his name. And his name is above every name. The other day we read there and quoted there from Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 11. Talk about the name of Jesus now. The Bible said, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things on earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And remember Jesus had said in Mark chapter 16, he said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe," being in verse 17, and went on to say, "In my name they shall cast out devils." Well, we have authority in Jesus' name over anything would try to harm us in this life, which all comes from Satan. Remember Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." So the name of Jesus above every name, and we speak to mountains and should in his name, in the name of Jesus. And then also is this verse 24 is known as the prayer of faith. Now there's different kinds of prayers in the New Testament. But this is the prayer of faith. With this prayer, we're to believe we receive what we prayed for when we pray. Now, you know, sometimes that can be kind of a struggle. You know, many of us, we just kept praying until we got it. Well, I'm not saying God never did help us, you know, in our baby stage of Christianity, even when we were sinners. But as the entrance of God's word brings light, the psalmist said there in Psalm 119, verse 160, So we need to realize that when the interest of God's word comes in our life, we're to start walking in it. And God will hold us responsible to it. I mean, someone that doesn't know any better, you know, they'll get by for a little bit as a baby Christian. But like in a natural, you know, babies, you don't expect them to do much. But as they grow, you expect them to begin to take on responsibilities of life. Well, spiritually speaking, it's that way. Anyway, so with this prayer of faith, we don't use the word if. Now, there is times in prayer we should use the word if, when we're seeking direction for God, something the Word of God doesn't specifically cover in our life. The Bible doesn't tell us who to marry, or what house to live in, or what town to live in, or what job to take, on and on and on. And so these are things we need to wait on God in prayer till we know in our spirit we're supposed to marry this person, or we're supposed to work here, or, you know, this is where we're supposed to move, or we're not supposed to leave our job. That's waiting on God in prayer. And that takes some time. You know, flesh doesn't like doing that. You know, in the Old Testament, Gideon put out a fleece. Well, in the New Covenant, we're not taught to be put out fleeces. We're taught to wait on God in prayer till we hear from God and know what to do in our spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, in Romans 8:14. Well, that takes some time of just waiting on God in prayer and getting ourselves quiet where we can hear in our spirit that inward voice, that inward witness about what we should do. I mean, we've all, you know, if we've been saved any length of time, we've all been in some situation that we wanted to quit and leave because we didn't like the way people were treating us, or they didn't love us or respect us or pay us enough or whatever it was on the job. And as we, you know, in that midst of frustration, as we sought the Lord and spent some time with Him and His Word and in prayer, we begin to realize, you know, I can't do this. So what we do, we begin to calm our flesh down and cast down those thoughts that came to our mind. Well, see, that's waiting on God in prayer. And we're going to do that the rest of our life. We need to. But what God has promised that belongs to us in Christ Jesus, we're not to wait until God wants to do something about it, because He's already done it. For instance, we know that He wants to supply all of our need according to His rich glory by Christ Jesus. We know the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We know that we have the mind of Christ from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And we know we can do all things through Christ, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And we know that Jesus Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, and by His stripes we were healed, in Matthew 8, 17 and 1 Peter 2, 24. So we're not trying to get God to heal us or deliver us, because Colossians 1, 13 says we've been delivered. We're not trying to get God to redeem us, because Christ has redeemed this curse law, Galatians 3, 13. So promises in the Word of God tells us what Jesus has done for us. Those are things that we speak and claim in Jesus' name and or pray the prayer of faith and believe receive it in Jesus' name. A person could speak to the body in Jesus' name and command to be healed and whole. They could pray the prayer of faith and believe they receive their healing with Mark 11, 24. But when we do pray, we pray to God in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus above every name. God gave us the name of Jesus, and that's how we approach God. And that's actually how we approach problems, is in the name of Jesus. Now, remember the other day we was talking about, you know, when something comes up, because stuff comes to all of us, the first, we need to train ourselves, the first thing we think of is, what does the Word say about this? Now, I haven't always done that, in that I knew better. I mean, there's been times, you know, I kept worrying about a problem, and you know, wonder why God wasn't doing anything, and cried about it, and got upset about it. It's kind of embarrassing to admit it, but you know, nevertheless. Now, some dear Christian didn't know any better, bless their hearts, that's one thing. But I've been taught, you know, you're supposed to cast all your worries and cares upon the Lord. And so I was in this world situation, and, you know, I thought it was just real terrible. And, you know, just cried and cried and cried, day after day. Finally, one day, it just came to my heart. The Lord just kind of rose up within me. Son, how much longer are you going to worry about this? Because as long as you worry about it, I can't do anything about it. But if you turn it over to me, I can take care of it. Well, you see, now I begin to realize, see, now I knew some Scripture, but I wasn't doing the Word. Yes, I may have had a knowledge of God's Word of, you know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. The Amplified says, you know, all your anxieties, in other words, stress, cast them on the Lord once and for all. Well, I turned over to the Lord, and I've done this many times, turned to the Lord, and then went back and picked it up with worry, with fear, with doubt, with unbelief, with double-mindedness. And then as I'd get in the Word and get in prayer, begin to realize, you know what? I turned over to the Lord, but then I went back and got it again through worrying about it. Well, now, how am I going to get God to help me if I keep taking the problem back and try to resolve it myself? Now, that doesn't mean when we turn something to the Lord, we don't do something, because we do. We stay in the Word. We stay in prayer. Keep ourselves built up. Like Jude said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, faith comes by hearing the Word. You know, a lot of us could say amen to the preacher when we hear them preach the Word. Oh, amen, that's right. But are we doing it? See, it's like James 1:22 said, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Well, in that incident there about me worrying about the problem, I'd heard 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and I knew from the Old Testament you're supposed to roll your cares, your anxieties over in the Lord. But see, I didn't do it in that one particular problem. And there's been other problems, but that one. You see, I'd go back and get it and worry about it. Now, you see, I turn to the Lord and then go back and start worrying about it. Well, as soon as I started worrying about it and fretting about it and get stressed out about it, well, then I wasn't being a doer of the Word. Oh, I could say amen to the preacher preaching it. Amen, you know. Preach a dynamic message on being carefree and worry-free. And make a decision, I'm going to do that. You ever do that? I'm going to do that. And the next thing I knew, I went back and picked up the worries and the cares. Well, by doing that, I'm not believing the Word. See, I'm hearing the Word, and it's good to hear it. We need to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. But also, we need to act on God's Word. Be a doer of the Word of God. If we believe the Word of God, then we're going to act like it's true. We're going to talk like it's true. We're going to think like it's true. We're going to see ourselves with it. You know, in James, the scripture said in James chapter 2, verse 17, says, even so faith, if they have not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. One translation says faith without action is dead. Well, you know, many times we just mentally agree the Word of God's true. You've been in churches, you know, and see, some churches, you hear the audience, some people throughout the audience say amen when the preacher's preaching. Now, that was all new to me because I grew up in a church where you didn't say nothing. But anyway, I got around people who were born again, spirit-filled, and the preacher be preaching and our teacher be teaching. Amen, amen, see? Well, that means amen, I agree. So be it, Jesus' name. And that's good. Praise the Lord. Some preachers, they're encouraged by the crowd saying amen. Like one minister said, that's saying amen to him when he preached. It's like saying sick him to a bulldog. But anyway, you see, oh yeah, we acknowledge, you see, the word is true, but are we acting like it's true? Do we see ourselves with it? Do we see ourselves possessing the promise of what God's word says? If we believe his word, his promises, then we act like it's true. We'll act accordingly to it. We act like we have it. Because the word of God says we have the mind of Christ. The word of God says we can do all things through Christ. The word of God says Christ has redeemed Christ's law. The word of God says greater is he that's in you and he is the world. In 1 John 4:4, right? So if we're more than just agreeing about the word, but we really believe the word, then we're going to act accordingly. In the name of Jesus. And just keep saying what the word said. And claiming God's promises. And speaking God's word. And doing the word of God. And we're going to be, as believers, we're going to be doing this the rest of our lives. It's easy to get caught up in a trap. Thinking, oh, because we've heard it, we're doing it. Now, we could hear ministers teach on love. And they'll always realize we need to work on our love walk. We could hear a minister teach on spending time in intercessory prayer. And we'd go to a conference or a seminar. You know, they taught on intercessory prayer. And so as we're leaving, we're thinking, hey, you know what? I'm going to start doing some more interceding. I've been praying, but I need to intercede more for others. Well, what are the subjects being taught? You hear minister teach on prosperity. Got the CDs. Praise the Lord. Start listening to them. Praise God. I'm going to keep tithing. I'm going to keep giving. But also, I need to keep thanking God and praising God that all my needs are met according to his rich glory of Christ Jesus, and this word is true. So it's really easy for us as believers, you know, to get caught up and think, well, I've heard that, and because we've heard that, we're doing it. No, examine ourselves and see if we be in faith. See, many times you'll be hearing a minister teaching the word, doing an excellent job, just really getting something out of it. Then begin to realize, you know what? I used to do this, but I got away from it. I haven't been doing a real good job of walking the love. I haven't been doing a real good job putting the flesh under. Not that you're coming to guilt and condemnation, but you realize in your spirit, you know, there's some things I need to work on here. And we want our conscience to be clear. And when we've been doing wrong or not doing what God told us to do, you know, you don't have that boldness in your conscience, in your spirit, man. You don't have that confidence in your spirit, man. You know, it'd be something the Lord would deal with you about giving up, a sin, things in the flesh. Well, you know, he'll let you know that you'll pick this up in your spirit, that this isn't something you should be doing. Now, what happens if you keep on proceeding to do it? You notice that in your spirit, you don't have that kind of confidence and boldness that you once had before. You know, people be praying for you and standing with you, but all along they don't realize that there's something here that through disobedience, which is sin, hasn't been turned over. And see, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews, in chapter 12, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring subjection. At least by any means I preach those myself to be cast away. In 1 John, the scripture said in chapter 3, beginning verse 20, for if our heart condemneth us, God is greater in heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence towards God. And you do. You have the utmost confidence. And whatsoever you shall ask, receive him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that please his sight. And this commandment we should believe in the name of Son Jesus Christ, love one another as he gave his commandment. You'll know. You know, if you stole something from someone, wouldn't you know it? And you realize, you know, I shouldn't have done that. So it's always just good to make sure we keep our conscience clear, that our conscience doesn't become seared or hardened in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you, if you don't have our materials, get on our website at jesserichministries.com. And definitely come to our services we got, seminars and the services, church services we do. They're going to help build you up in God's Word. If you enjoyed the message, you're really going to help. It's going to help you and you're going to enjoy our services. Till next time, this is Pastor Jesse Rich reminding you that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.